It's very fitting that in this last hour, this workshop is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I titled it that because I was trying to think through, believe it or not, and maybe you would say, no, I would believe that. Sometimes you do wonder, how do I know when we're done? Have you ever struggled with that? It's like, what are you looking for? If counseling is about change and we want to see something different happen, how would you know when you're there? Because if you've done any measure of counseling, surely you've begun to recognize it often is still messy. Things are a little better, but it's not great. This got better, but this is still off. And here's the other thing that you surely know you're track for. The further you plow into it, we started with this presenting issue, all you do is unearth additional things. And so if you don't have the right mindset, you might counsel one or two people till Jesus comes. And you're like, well, we just kept seeing more that needs to be worked on, and this came out, and oh, so how would you know when it's time to graduate your counseling? What are you looking for? So let me go ahead and give it to you in a nutshell in case you're going to just check out and start looking at Facebook or something else here in a minute. Here it is in a nutshell. What I'm looking for is, are they aimed in a new direction with some new insights about themselves, God, how these two things relate, and some new tools in their toolbox for processing life better and pleasing God? That captures it in enough. That's what I'm looking for. Not perfection, not everything's fixed, there's no more struggle, not even we're out of the dark. I'll graduate someone who's still in the dark, but I don't believe they are the same person in the dark as when we started. Whereas used to, I wanted to stay with them until we popped out into a glorious field of daylight and sunshine. And everything, you know, I'm type A, and everything has a bow tied up on it. But it just kept not. I would think, oh, I think we're almost done. And then, oh. You know how sometimes you'll know something, but you don't know why you know it? And so I just took some time to brainstorm, what is it that I'm looking for? What am I doing when I say, I think we could graduate? Because I'm right there. Wednesday night, I met with a couple I'm working with, and that was session 16. And for two sessions now, I've been planting a seed, because you can't shock them. You know, don't just say, well, all righty, I think that's great. I'm never meeting with you again. That's hard on counselees, because they, you know, they got to love you and know you. So I found plant a seed, kind of lead them along to let them know. So I've been letting them know for a little bit now. I think maybe three or four more sessions, and I think I'm going to be able to graduate you guys. Why would I say that? Why would I say that? There's still, and here's what I have recognized. I've got an observer couple in there, and they've been through the training like you, the fundamentals. But literally, one of her things, and I can tell she's type A too, she's just like, she was honest one night, because I'll chat with them about 15 minutes after the counselees leave. And she's like, honestly, Pastor Brad, I just expected to see more change. And I said, oh, call her Stacy. This was a very typical case. You're seeing a good one. I said, honestly, I've been doing this for 30 years. I could count on one hand when I've seen, you know, Saul of Damascus thrown to the road and a light and, oh! I said, it is rarely some kind of breakthrough like that. It's like, oh, things are, and then I rattled off to her why I think we're close to graduation, but she had to have my help or she wasn't even seeing it, because it's far from perfect. So what is it that I would be looking for? Well, here's the first thing. Number one, when they understand the real goal of the Christian life. If you've been on this journey for a while now, then this is surely you understand this. When they come in, they don't have the right goal. They're not living for the glory of God. They're not trying to please God. They're not living for the glory of God. They're not trying to please God. I've never had someone starting there that already have that. I have to help them with that. And you can see it in their eyes. That's quite disorienting to them. That's not what they came in for. They don't want you to give them a new goal. They think they know what the goal is and the aim is, and they want you to get on board with it. And these are believers, mostly, that I'm counseling. And they don't really think, oh, Isaiah 43:7, I was created for his glory. I'm created in his image. So this marriage has something bigger going on than just my way, my agenda, her agenda. Together, we want to live for the glory of God. We want to have a marriage that glorifies God. No. Nobody comes in with that already in place. So you'll have to help them with. But when I begin to sense they're getting a hold of this new goal, where you set aside that other person. Most of my counseling is marriage, so when I keep talking this way, it's because that's what the team gives me. 85% of my counseling is marriage. So when you stop looking at her like, oh, but is she, or oh, and it's like, what does God say to me? What does God want from me? What does God want from me? I want to please God as a wife. I want to please God as a husband. I want to become more like Christ in this process. When I've helped them and I sense they're buying into that and that is what they're thinking, then I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that, oh, you know what? We might be able to graduate. They're getting a new goal. But I hope you realize from that last workshop for sure that that doesn't mean you can't groan, that there can't be still struggling and groaning. So I see myself, you know, I don't see myself so much as a person just giving out Bible verses. I see myself in a real way as a midwife, you know, just right there with them. It's painful, it's messy, and we're groaning together in this process of seeing them become more like Christ. And so even if, you know, we just worked through Psalm 73, even if they're still in pain and they're expressing it, if they are groaning, I'm okay with that. You realize there's a distinction between groaning and complaining? I think too many biblical counselors are guilty of rushing in and we just think, I don't want to hear anything coming out of your mouth but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. The Bible talks about groaning. And not as a sin. You read Romans 8, 18 to 26. If you look at that passage, you'll see a threefold cord of groaning, hoping, waiting. You'll see, I've got those words highlighted in different colors. It is just filled with those three concepts leading up to. Most believers know Romans 8, starting in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for God. Great verse. Leading up to it is a bunch of groaning. And pain and suffering, but we don't just simply groan. You have hope in the midst of it, and you have a sense of waiting doesn't just mean in the Bible, like I'm waiting for God to change all this. In the Bible, think about how often there's a blessing associated with those who wait on the Lord. Yeah. Those who wait on the Lord. That Hebrew word for wait is leaning in with expectancy. There's a God still, and he's up to something, and he's on the move. I don't have to understand it all, but there's a God. He's up to something. He's on the move. I have hope. Even that word hope in the Bible is not the way we use it in our culture. I'm a Bengals fan. I live in Cincinnati. You say, think they'll win the Super Bowl? I hope so. They didn't. Well, I hope so. You think I'll get home safely and that we won't have ice? Well, I hope so. That's not how the Bible uses it. Biblical hope, you ready, is a confident expectation of future blessing based on the character and promises of God. So you can believe in the character and promises of God and still groan because you know he allows that groaning out loud because it's hard, but you haven't stopped being hopeful and you haven't stopped being expectant that it's going to end, even if that ending is simply outside of this life. There's going to come an end to this. This will not last forever. So I'm willing to consider graduating them when I think, all right, they're living for something different. They have a new goal, not just fix it. I'm sure you've bumped into it. So often I find no one says it out loud, but after 4 to 6 sessions, you'll just sense it. Their goal is for you to help them keep doing exactly what they've been doing, but just get better results. Right? I'm here because this isn't working out, but I still want that, and I think I deserve that, and I don't think there's a problem with me wanting that. Just help me get better fruit. I don't want to change. I don't want to change. I hope this doesn't sound bad. More and more, you know what I'm doing? More and more, I'm ending counseling sooner. I'm stopping. And I'm encouraging our team to do it, because what I'm finding is if you don't have a counselee, you can't counsel. And more we have people that have no desire to change.